Shabbos Daf Lamed Ches. They asked Reb Chiya Bar Abba, if you forgot a pot on an unbaked stove before Shabbos, you put it on before Shabbos, can you eat the food on Shabbos that's been cooked since it's been there? So Reb Chiya Bar Abba at the time didn't say anything, but the next day he taught them a Mishnah that said, if you cooked food on Shabbos by accident, then you can eat it. If you cooked it on purpose, then you cannot eat it. But regarding leaving food on an unbaked stove, there's no distinction whether you did it by accident or on purpose. And there's an argument, what does it mean when he said there's no distinction on purpose or by accident? Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, Reb Chiya Bar Abba meant to say that you're allowed to eat it in both cases, whether it was by accident or on purpose. And the reason for that is because regarding cooking, that's a forbidden action. So if it's by accident, then you can eat it. But if it's on purpose, you can't eat it. However, just leaving the food on the stove before Shabbos, that's not a forbidden act. So even if you left it on purpose, then you can eat it. However, Rav Nachman Yitzchak explains differently. He says, when Reb Chiya Bar Abba says there's no distinction, he means that in both cases, you're not allowed to eat it. Because by cooking, you're not going to cook on purpose and say it was an accident. So that's why if it's an accident, you can eat. If it's on purpose, you can't eat. However, when you leave the food on, you might leave it on purpose before Shabbos and then say it was an accident. So that's why in both cases they said that you can't eat it. So we have a braisa that is a disproof to Rabban Rav Yosef. Rav Meir says, if you forgot a pot on an unbaked stove and then you cooked it on Shabbos, if it was and I cooked on Shabbos, if this was by accident, you can eat it. If it was on purpose, you can't eat it. And this is true regarding water that wasn't fully heated or food that wasn't fully cooked. However, if you have water that was fully heated or food that was fully cooked, regardless if it was on purpose or by accident, then you are allowed to eat it because it was already cooked before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says a little differently. He says that if you have water that was fully heated, then that's okay. Going into Shabbos, you can have it on Shabbos because since you left it on the stove, it got ruined because it evaporated. However, if you have food that was fully cooked, it's not okay because the food is going to get better when you leave it on. That when it dries out, it will get better because we know the general rule that any food that gets better, like cabbage, beans, or minced meat, then it is forbidden after you've left it on. However, if it gets worse, then it is okay because that's the general rule we know, that then it's okay to eat. So the Braisa either way teaches that food that wasn't fully cooked is okay if it was by accident, but if it was on purpose, then it's not okay. You can't have it. So according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, this makes a lot of sense because the Braisa is talking about before the Gzera, before there was this decree regarding the food or not, and since it was before they made a Gzera, therefore this Braisa says it's only usser if it was done on purpose, if you left the food on purpose. However, Reb Chiya Bar Abba is coming to say after the Gzeira that it's always usser according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. However, according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, then they don't make sense because they say that Reb Chiya Bar Abba is saying that in both cases it's allowed. However, if Reb Chiya Bar Abba was saying before the Gzeira, then this is a problem because the Braisa says that on purpose it's usser. And if Reb Chiya Bar Abba was coming to say after the Gzeira, and then that doesn't make sense because according to them, he allows it even if it was by accident. So that doesn't make sense either way. So therefore, the Gemara says it's a kasha to Rabba and Rav Yosef. So why did they make this gzeira in the first place about leaving your food on? Rav says that originally the rule was if you accidentally cooked food on Shabbos, then that was okay. You were allowed to eat it, but if it was on purpose, then you couldn't eat it. And the same used to be true if you forgot your food before Shabbos on the pot on an unbaked stove. However, once people started leaving their food on purpose on the stove before Shabbos, and they would just claim it was an accident, then they had to make a gzeira that you can't eat your food that you left on the stove, even if you forgot it on the stove by accident. So Rav Meir is contradictory. Rav Meir that we just quoted here contradicts himself with Rav Meir we had on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, because here Rav Meir says, if you have food that was fully cooked or water that was fully heated, then it's okay to consume if you left it on the pot. However, and then Braisa on Lama Zayin Amud Aleph, we quoted Rav Meir saying that only hot water is okay if you left it on, not food also. And Rabbi Yehuda also contradicts himself, because here Rabbi Yehuda says, if you had food that was fully cooked, it's usser to eat. You can't eat it if it's getting improved. However, there on Lama Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda says that you can leave fully cooked food on the stove no matter what. So we answer, no, they're not contradictory, because in over there on Lama Zayin Amud Aleph, Rav Meir is talking about lechat chila. In the first place, the only thing you should have is hot water. However, here, Rav Meir is talking about bidyeved, that if you did have food or water that was fully cooked or heated, then it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda also is not contradictory, because there on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, he's talking about a stove that was shoveled or banked, and that's why he's less strict and allows you to have fully cooked food. But here, he's talking about a stove that wasn't shoveled or banked, and that's why he's more strict, and says that the food which was fully cooked you can't have. So if you left food, the Gemara asks, on an unbanked stove on purpose, is it usser? For the food that was left on an unbanked stove on purpose, can you eat that or not? Reb Chanina said that when Reb Yossi went to Tzipori, he found hot water that had been left on an unbanked stove, and he didn't prohibit it. However, he allowed them to have it. However, he found a shriveled egg that was on an unbanked stove, and he did prohibit. So isn't this saying that he prohibited it for that Shabbos, and it's teaching that it's usser to consume it? You can't consume food that was left on a stove on Shabbos. No, Reb Yossi was prohibiting the food for the next week, that he was saying the next week they can't eat this, but now, since it's already happened, you are allowed to eat it. So from this brisa, also we're going to learn another thing, that shriveled eggs, is that considered something that's improved through its heating? And the Gemara answers yes, because Reb Chama Bar Chanina taught that he and Rebbe once stayed somewhere during the week, and they served them shriveled eggs, and they ate so many because they were so good, so that teaches us shriveled eggs are good. The Mishnah says that, according to Beis Hillel, you can even return it to the pot. Rav Sheshet says this even means that if you took it off on Shabbos, you can return it on Shabbos. We might have thought that meant that only if you removed it on Friday that you can return it on Shabbos later. But Rav Sheshet is saying even if you removed it on Shabbos. Rav Oshie agrees with this. He says that once they were before Rav Chia Rabba, and they brought up a kettle of hot water for him, and they diluted his wine with this water, and then they went and returned it to the stove, and Rav Chia Rabba said nothing. Reb Tadai says that you can only return a pot to the stove if you didn't already put it down. Once you put it on the ground, you cannot return it to the stove. Reb Ami says the halacha is not like Reb Tadai. It's not like this. Rather, the halacha is like Reb Yochanan, that you can return the stove. Sorry, you can return the pot to the stove even if you put it down on the ground. Reb Dimi and Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda also argue. They both argue in the name of Reb Elazar. One says that you can put it on the ground. If you put it on the ground, you cannot return it. But another says, if you put it on the ground, you can return it. Abai also joins in this argument. He says, if you didn't originally intend to put it back on the stove, then you can't return it. It's all dependent on your original intention when you removed it from the stove. If you didn't intend to return it, you cannot put it back. However, this implies that even if you intended to put it back, once you put it on the ground, you cannot return it. However, there's another version of Abai that says, if you intended to put it back, then once it's on the ground, you could still even return it. This implies that even if you had no intention whatsoever, if you kept it in your hand, you could return it. So Rabbi Yirmiya asks, what if you hung a pot on a peg? Or what if you put it down on a bed? In those cases, can you return? Because they're not for sure on the ground, but they're not in your hand. Ravashi also asks, if you transferred it from the one kettle that you removed to another kettle, then can you return it? And the Gemara answers, it's a take. We are not sure. The next Mishnah says, if you have a tanur oven, which is a different type of oven that got very, very hot, and it was heated with even straw or stubble, which we said don't get as hot and don't burn as well, you are not allowed to put food inside it or on top because the tanur gets so heavy, so hot. If you have a kupach type of oven, which is a different type of oven that the Gemara will explain, if it's heated with straw or stubble, then it functions like a kira. A kira is the type of stove we had been talking about all along. So if you have a kupach type of stove oven that's heated with straw or stubble, it has all these same halachot as a kira, which is what we have been talking about until now. However, if it's heated with wood or pulp, which we know get much hotter, then it's treated like a tanur, which is what the Mishnah started off talking about. The Gemara brings up, the Gemara starts with Rav Yosef, who says that when it talks about the tanur, when it says inside or on top, that's very literal, which implies that you can put it next to the tanur. However, Abaye questions this because he challenges this because the Mishnah says that a kupach that's heated with straw or with stubble is like a kira. If it's heated with pulp or wood, then it's like a tanur. This means that if it's like a tanur, it's usher to put the food on. If it's like a kira, then you can put it on. You can put the food on. So where are we putting this food on the kupach? If you want to say we're putting it on top, then what type of kupach are we dealing with? If you want to say that we're dealing with a kupach that's not shoveled or banked, then how can you put it on top? Because you can't even put it on top of a kira that wasn't shoveled or banked. So certainly, which you can't put it on the kupach because the kira is the less strict. So you certainly can't put it on the kupach. So it must be that we're talking about food, about putting the food on the side of the kupach. And therefore, when we say that the kupach is like the tanur, then it means that you can't put the food on the side, just like you can't put the food on the side of the tanur. So this is a disproof to Rav Yosef, who says you can put the food on the side of the tanur. However, Rav Adabar Ava comes to Rav Yosef's defense. He brings up a Mishnah that says, so he says, our Mishnah is talking about a kupach and a tanur that were shoveled and banked, and it's talking about putting food on top. If the kupach is heated with pulp or wood, it is treated like a tanor and you can't put food on top. If it's heated with straw or stubble, then it's treated like a kira and you can't put food on top. But we can't see from here that you are not allowed to put food on the side of a tanor. However, we have a braisa that supports Abaye that says a tanor that's heated with straw or stubble, you can put food next to it. Sorry, you cannot put food next to it. So we see you can't put food next to it. And certainly you can't put it on top. Certainly you can't put it inside. And certainly if it was heated with pulp or wood, you can't put it on it or anywhere near it because that gets much hotter. And the braisa continues that a kupach that's heated with straw or stubble, then you could put food on the side of it or on top of it. However, if it's heated with wood or pulp, you can't even put it next to it because then it is like a tanor. Rav Achabrei Derava asks Rav Ashi, if a kupach is like a kira, then if you heated it with pulp or wood, you should be able to put food on top of it. Because if it, we know by a kira that's heated with pulp or wood, you could put food on top of it. So if it's like a kira, then it shouldn't matter what you use. However, if it's like a tanor, then even if you use straw or stubble, you shouldn't be able to put food on top of it because we know that it is much stricter by the tanor. So what are we saying? So the answer is that it's somewhere in the middle. It's not as hot as a tanor. However, it is hotter than a kira. So therefore, we look at it like it's in the middle. And that's why it has both of these rulings. So now the Gemara asks, what is a kupach and what's a kira? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says a kupach is square and only has room for one pot. A kira, which we have been talking about up until now, is rectangular and has room for two pots. Abaye teaches a Mishnah that brings up a Mishnah that teaches the same idea. It says a kira that became tameh, and a kira that became tameh, if you split it lengthwise, then it will become tahor because it cannot hold a pot anymore. However, if you split it by its width, then it will be it will remain tameh because it gets still hold the two pots in each side of the width, and therefore, because it's rectangular, and we see from here that a kira is rectangular and can hold two pots. However, by a kupach, it will be tahor no matter how you split it, because either way, length or width, it's still a square, and you would not be able to hold a pot anymore, because it can only hold one pot. The next Mishnah says that you can't put an egg next to a hot kettle so that it can roast a little bit, and you also can't fry it on scarves that were heated up by the sun. However, Rabbi Yossi allows this to fry it on hot scarves. The Mishnah continues that you can't roast an egg in hot sand or in hot dust, and it brings up a story that in Tveria they once ran a pipe of cold water through a hot spring so that the pipe would be heated up with the hot water. The Chachamim say if the water was flowed through the pipe on Shabbos, then it's just like water that was intentionally heated up on Shabbos, and you can't use it for bathing or drinking. If it flowed through, the cold water flowed through the pipe on Yontiv, then it's like water that you heated up on Yontiv, and you can't use it for bathing. However, you can use it for drinking. Now the Gemara starts off and says, what if you roasted an egg by the kettle? Is this usher on a deoraisa level? Rabbi Yosef says that if you roasted an egg by a kettle, you need to bring a karban chatas, which is what you do for committing a biblical offense. So this shows that it is a deoraisa. And Marbrei de Ravina brings up a Mishnah which supports this idea. The Mishnah says anything that's placed in hot water before Shabbos, you can continue to soak it in hot water on Shabbos. However, if you didn't place it in hot water before Shabbos, then you're only allowed to rinse it with hot water on Shabbos. However, this doesn't apply. The exception is old salted fish or Spanish mackerel, because there, the rinsing with hot water completes their preparation. So in this case, what we're learning from this is just like the rinsing is considered cooking, just rinsing it with hot water is considered it's cooking, so too just putting an egg by a hot kettle is considered biblical cooking. Shkayach.